Now, Hebrews 13 verse 5. Run with me to Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you. So everyone open your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Are you there? Hebrews 13. Are you there? So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly what? Say verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man. Now, it's very important to note what I've been teaching in the last few weeks. We're looking at the believer's victory and the believer's what? Authority. Now, the Bible says that let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, what is covetousness? Right? You see, covetousness is a slant of heart. Covetousness is a slant of heart that does not support contentment. Covetousness is a slant of heart that does not support contentment. You know that covetousness is a slant in scriptures, or is a slant that believers have in approaching scriptures. Together, right? You see, if your heart is covetous, the scriptures you will read, you will come out with covetous interpretations. You get that? The scriptures you read, so let me give you two quick examples. You know the scripture that says all things are mine, all things are yours, First Corinthians, right? Paul, we're talking about all things are yours in the Corinthians church right now. Okay, so now when you read that statement without looking at the context in which that statement is used, you will think that Paul is saying that everything on the earth is yours, or you are there's a tendency for you to have everything or anything on the earth. However, if you read in the context of scriptures, you realize that what he is teaching is that. Thank you. The sacrifices of the men or the sacrifice of the minister, it is for the profitability of the saints. Are we together? You know this popular scripture that says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that what strengthens me. Now, it's easy to say I can do all things as a positive confession. However, the problem with that is that the conclusions that a covetous heart will get to will put a covetous person in trouble. Now, when Paul will say, I can do all things, he is not teaching that he could do anything on the earth. Are we together? Right? Like I always give an example. Imagine you're flying, you're going for an international flight, for instance, and everybody's just boarding with their backpack and everything, and you've checked in. And the pilot just comes in and just enters, gets into his cockpit, right? And he just puts on the mic, you know, his mic is usually something like this, right? Just puts on the mic, says, ladies and gentlemen, hope you're having a beautiful day, this sunny Sunday afternoon. Right. I just want to tell you that I've never been to a piloting school. Mm-hmm. I've never been to an aviation school. However, there's a rare man my pastor drops this morning. All together. And my pastor told us from Philippians 4, verse 13. And he says, I can do all things through Christ that raises me. So just sit, relax, and I trust in the ability of that scripture. For the word of God cannot go back void. Right? Sit down. Fasten your seatbelts. Relax. As we begin to what? Taxi. What do you say? Sorry, there's dropping. There's drop. There's been no, like on the bus, you drop it. You have to stop. I want to drop on the next bus stop. Yeah. So how do you think, if I can do all these universal scriptures that everybody should be able to use to do anything, why don't you believe in that ability in that pilot? Or you want us to believe in your own ability? You can't go to a runway and begin to just leave the terminal, you just leave the building and just start running on the runway. So what are you going to do? I'm about to take off and go to the Philippines. No. You don't behave that way. Understand? So it means that when you read scripture, there's an attitude you must have. There's the covetous attitude that you can have and the contentment attitude you can have. Scripture says, let your conversations be without covetousness. And the young people are so covetous that they can covet anything. Understand? I convert your house. I convert your car. I convert your wife. People can convert anything. Right? But Hebrew says, let your conversation be without covetousness. What did he now say? He says, be content. Now, I emphasized on this on Sunday and Wednesday, but let me emphasize on it again today. Be content with what ye have. Stop there. Now, a lot of times, we think that what the author of Hebrews is teaching is that your contentment should be that, after all, I have a house to sleep. Do you understand? Do you understand how somebody can lose his job, for instance, and in his Thanksgiving, he says, well, even though I've lost my job, after all, I have a house. After all, I have another business. And the subconsciously can examine that as contentment. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you are content. So let's say you have a friend who has another job. Are we here? Are we here? You have a friend who has a new job, or he was promoted at work. And you now go to, you know, some people, they can laugh with you and be doing as if they are happy for you. But in all of those expressions, you know, they can come to you and say, oh, wow, they will help you sing the wrong song. This is the Lord's doing. They will help you sing it. Right? It's marvelous in our sight, you know. And they have that, you know, that sense of, why is he not me? Why is he not me? Then they now hear someone teach about contentment. And I say, well, you know, God's timing is the best. Mm-hmm. God's timing is the best, right? Today is your day for rejoicing. Tomorrow will be my day. You know, tomorrow might not. You know? Yeah? And I'm saying this importantly. It's the truth. Tomorrow might not. The next time you are going to come together with that same friend to rejoice might be because of the same friend.
Yeah.
I can tell you for free, even the 10th time. But the Bible teaches contentment. Now, what you must understand is the Bible is not teaching contentment from the material, mundane perspective, but from an eternal perspective. What does that mean? You have a job. Your contentment is not because you have a job. Your contentment is not what? Go back to your Bible. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such thing as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what is your contentment built on? What he has said that he will do. What did he say he will do? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So where do you build, on what foundation do you build your contentment on? Not on your house, not on your car, not on mundane things, but on that which is eternal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things material can go within the blink of an eye.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can build a property and you've invested millions in that. There are buildings like that that have crashed all over the world. You've invested millions of dollars and it takes one floor to take everything to the ground. If every day you woke up and you are saying, thank you, Jesus. And your thank you, Jesus, is based on, I have money to buy cement. I have money to buy blocks. I have money to pay the architects. What would be your thank you, Jesus, regarding the day it collapsed? You see, if you understand this, that is why that scripture, in all things, give thanks, will not make sense to you. In all things, give thanks. It's not saying it crashed. I give thanks because it crashed. It is because you understand your contentment is built on something eternal. So whether it crashes or not, you give thanks. Are you with me? Are you with me? So contentment, from scripture's perspective, you must understand it properly. Are you with me? So what is that thing that should make you content? The fact that the Bible says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are we together? So it means no matter how complex the situation is, there's something to be thankful about. Listen to me carefully. There is something to be thankful about no matter how complex the situation is. Now, what your attention should not be on as a believer is because you have something else that is going well for you. It is because you have something that has gone well for you. So Jesus, by the resurrection, has come into the heart of a man who believes, and he says to that man, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there is no time X in the history of humanity that a believer does not have something to be thankful for. Yeah, time X, that's me talking in the mathematical form, right? Yeah, there's no point in time where a believer doesn't have something to thank for, even if it has a point where everything around the believer's life crashes. I have a story of someone, for instance, who a flood took over their house. And took over their house and took over all their properties and all their clothes, and everything just went away. Interestingly, they didn't have as much in the bank. But you know, you can come out from the flood and say, thank you, Jesus. What are you thankful for? He has said, you will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Jesus. So when we come to, and that's why you see, a lot of us have not paid attention to this. That's why we give room for necessary things that create unnecessary competitions amongst ourselves. You know, some people have asked us a couple of times, why don't we take testimony in God's palace? And I tell you for free, as a pastor of God's palace, both Nigeria and UK, I know the strange, miraculous things that happen in our midst. Strange, miraculous things that happen in our midst. I know it. Some of you tell me. Some of you, I know you don't tell me, I see it. Strange, miraculous things. But every Sunday, what are we thankful for? See, if we build our thanksgiving on the strange, miraculous things that happen week in, week out, what happens in the week when nothing happens to any of us? That is okay. When pastors say rejoice, some of you, don't be remembering the job you just got on Friday. Don't be that one who pastor can know you got a job recently when they say rejoice. This Sunday you rejoice, they say, glory! Woo! You run from there, you are here. But another Sunday, when things, maybe somebody does something to you. You see, I used to hear some of our interesting believers. You know, you say it's interesting female believers and male believers. I like. You see, when a believer begins to say something like, you are a proof of God's faithfulness to me, you are troublesome. No. No matter how awesome your wife is, no matter how beautiful your husband is, another human being is not proof of God's faithfulness to you. The proof of God's faithfulness to you is the resurrection.
Yeah.
I know some people who their proof of God's faithfulness have left them. I'm not joking. It's not be like one, like a lie. I tell you the truth, I lie not. All of a sudden, you're on Instagram, everybody's posting, the Jew, my shoulder, the sugar, my teeth, the doing like this. You will go to go and compose poem, you write poem. Well, it proved that God loves me. How? Problem for. You understand? So you can't be using another person to say, wow, the day you stepped into my life, that was the day I could feel the tangible love of God. In his romance, you lack. You know, you can lack romance in a way, and you impute it. I know some of my friends that all these girls call them baby girl. You will have a new boyfriend. When you have a friend who is saying, the Holy Ghost just wakes me up in the night and just says, baby girl, take your Bible and read. You need boyfriend. You need boyfriend that will be telling you, be committed to your Bible. Holy Ghost has to call you baby girl before you open your Bible to read. Ah, no. So you need to be careful at the implication of the things you say. I know God loves me because I got this job. No! You don't understand God's love by things that can pass away.
Yes.
You understand God's love by that which has come to stay. I'll say it one more time. I sound so motivational today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just put my picture, put a code beside me. Joshua used to God's palace logo. Yeah. What did I even say, sir? You don't understand God's love by what will pass away. You understand God's love that has by what has come to stay. Okay. Ah. Hey. Pass away, come to stay. They will hear. Do you understand the point? You don't understand God's love by things that
you don't understand God's love by things that will pass away.
You understand God's love by things that has come to stay. You don't understand God's love by things that will pass away. You understand God's love by the things by that which has come to stay. What is that which has come to stay? Christ's resurrection is spirit in your heart. So, in your house, you might not feel loved by your partner. You might not feel loved by your neighbor. But you must always understand, see, that your neighbor is your neighbor today does not mean he will be your neighbor tomorrow. So it means that one can what?
Pass away.
But whether your neighbor is your neighbor today, your neighbor is not your neighbor tomorrow, there's something. You see, when the Bible says, let brotherly love continue, right? If it says what? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And I've told you before that that scripture is not teaching love your neighbor the way you want your neighbor to love you. Yeah? Because people don't love themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So the Bible is not teaching love your neighbor the way you want them to love you. It is love your neighbor the way you have been loved. Okay? So who is the first person to show you love? God in Christ Jesus. So God in Christ Jesus was the first neighbor to you. He became man. Took on flesh. To become the neighbor of man. So to show you how you should love your neighbor. So Jesus became the neighbor of man to show you how to love your neighbor. Right? And that being neighbor of man is to give his neighbor something that is eternal and constant. So you are content with the fact that that neighbor has said to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Guess what? It doesn't end there. Look at verse 6. It says, so that we may boldly what? Say. So that we may boldly say. What are we saying? The Lord is my helper. So it means that the things that God does for the believer is so the believer can boldly respond and say. Are we together? Are we together? So don't allow God's word to end as God's word. Convert God's word to your words and you speak out. Now, what he has done for you is so that you can be bold. So when you see a believer walking like someone who is not bold, it's because he hasn't paid attention to what God has said about him or her. There's a reason why he says boldly say, because you can say something and not be bold. Yeah, you can say something and not be bold. I'll give you an example on Wednesday, right? There's a way you come to my house, all right, together. Right, and if I put my remote of my TV on the ground, the floor, if you come to my house and say, "Who put this here?" I put it there. You understand? You see, in my life, within the 2 seconds of that shout, you've thought of what you are paying as house rent, or what you pay as mortgage, or what you used to buy the house, or whatever you used to purchase the house. In 2 seconds, you realize that I own this house now. You don't need to process it. Why don't you need to process it? Because before that moment, you've enveloped your heart with that knowledge.
Yeah.
Before that moment, you've enveloped your heart with that knowledge. Oh, gracious Father. Just I'm saying this to you, just put offering, just drop it at my leg. Just bring offering and drop it. And just say, glory to God. Glory to God. Right? So, you know what? How did I say what I said? I don't know the auction. I don't know who prayed for me this morning. I don't know the auction that I'm feeling today. I said something around the authority. So I've allowed the knowledge of what I own to envelop my heart. So the moment that thing happens, that's the way life happens. See, when any small thing happens, you are scared. It's because you've not enveloped your heart with the right knowledge. However, you've enveloped your heart with the knowledge. Because you know, knowledge and fear is in knowledge that people learn. Yeah. Same thing with faith. Faith and fear. If you feed your heart with fearful things, you would express fear when the slightest thing happens. And you learn this now. If you fill your heart with faith-filled words, faith-filled activities, you will learn it. That's why me as a pastor, I don't keep myself around people who think small. You know, so sometimes we have some members come to me, just go to Nigeria and here. I just love this church. I love small churches. Once you tell me small, you love small churches, I run from you. You know why? God sees the earth saved. That means he sees people in their multitude. You say you love community. You love community. I love the community. And I love churches where everybody knows their name. I run away from you. When I hear those kind of things, I walk back from that place. Because that kind of person does not want the church to grow. Yes, now. Yeah, look at it. See. If you like a small church, it means that the church grows, you will not like it again. Is it not simple? Simple. See, I like small church. And I understand what they mean. They want community. That's why we group you down inside cell. We have your cell. Go to your cell group. You know the people there. When your cell is increasing, we break it out again. When I hear those words, I go back. I don't allow it to end there. I keep talking it boldly. God's palace has come to stay. We would grow in number. We would grow in strength. We would not have a better yesterday. I say it. I don't allow the words of people around me to get into my heart. Nope. Why? There's a right way to respond to life's activities. Yeah. When Jesus was in the boat, the storm was raging. What happened? We read that on Wednesday. That means he was asleep. See, there's something you will know that will make you sleep.
Yeah.
There's something you will know. That's why I always tell you the Christian faith is knowledge based. There's something you will know that will make you sleep. Now, what did Jesus do when he woke up? He said, Master, there's a storm. You know, some people would have read that activity as an act of faith in Jesus. You know now? Yeah, you can read the activity as they had faith in Jesus. That's why they went to wake Jesus.
Yeah.
You can see that's faith. Bible records that Jesus stood up and responded to them. He said, O ye of what? Little faith. Why are you scared? Now, you know, it would be different if Jesus said, why are you scared? I went back to sleep. Because there's sleep of fear as well. And you know, some people, when they enter plane, they just start sleeping. It's not because they are confident, though. They don't want to hear this plane go down, you go up. So when somebody, you don't just allow when they see you. You're walking with confidence with their backpack, they just start sleeping. When you're thinking, Pinafore, what is that drug they should take? Billion five. If you're taking billion five, two tablets. You know those kind of drugs, when you take it like this, 2 minutes after you have gone. So they just take it as soon as the plane just say starts boarding. Just push their mouth, drink water. They are bouncing. They go there, they recline their seat, they are sleeping. It's not confidence for a lot of people. It's fear. So Jesus could have said, Oh, you have little faith. He could have said, oh, you have little faith, and just go back to sleep. Bible says, no. He says, oh, you have little faith. Bible says, he turned to the storm and he rebuked the storm. He said, storm, be calm, be still. And they responded. How will you know that things will respond to you if you don't talk?
Yeah.
You have to talk the talk. How will you know it's not respond? That's why you can't be a pessimistic person. Every situation you expect the most negative thing. You can't, that should not be as a believer. For every situation you expect the positive things. See, even if it's a sickness that the doctors tell you that it is a terminal sickness. No, the last second, you expect the best.
Yeah.
You expect the best. Let me tell you something. If Jesus can come back from the dead as a sign that the believers will rise again,
yeah.
That's why I don't go around and say people are shouting, people that are saying, what cannot do, God cannot do, they don't know anything. You see, sometimes when you just want to show your knowledge, just calm down first. Can you say, what God cannot do? Can God lie? The person that I say, what cannot do. Did he tell you not know the context? I understand, yes, there's context and non-context and all of those things. Yeah, and I'm not saying go and be doing anything. Yeah, you get the point. Yeah. What I'm saying to you basically is there are strange, impossible things that happen with God.
Yeah.
You cannot dispute it.
Yeah.
That's why your Christian life cannot be void of the miraculous.
Yes, sir.
You cannot be. See, the fact that you're a believer is a miracle in itself.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You who was dead in sin, now coming alive unto God by his resurrection. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
The miracle of the resurrection.
Yeah.
You understand? So, by default, we are born into the miraculous. So, you cannot know expect the miraculous to happen. You see somebody on the chair, for instance, having a problem, right? And your fear is really about the fact that, what if I pray for him and he doesn't respond? What happened to what if I pray for him and he stands up?
Yeah.
Bible will tell you that Jesus went go to the tomb of Lazarus. Oh, listen. You see, there's sometimes you put things of faith or fear away from you. Bible says that as he walked in, what happened? He asked everybody to go out. It was a reason. Peter learned the same thing as well. Right? So Jesus will go in and he will say, everyone, go out. No, but I think is that the same Lazarus story?
No.
I think that's
Jairus.
Daughter of Jairus, right?
Yeah.
Bible scholars, beautiful. Yeah. Yes, daughter of Jairus, right? So he went up and asked everyone to go out, right? Yeah, there's some things of fear you put around you. So when you want to pray for the sick, are we together, right? When you close your eyes, sometimes it's a sign of faith. Sometimes. can see unbelief in people.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. You can see unbelief in people. You can see unbelief in people. Do you understand? There's a man called Jerry Savelle. He just passed away a few years ago, a few weeks ago, and these are going to build a lot. I watched this funeral service and all this. One of the people came and said something. He found himself at he loved cars. So he found himself at a car workshop. They were doing, it's not auction, but car fair or something like that. And guess what happened? Somebody came to meet him with that he had a cancer, that he had cancer. Well, Jerry Savelle is someone who had given himself to prayer, given himself to the world at the back end. Guess what he did? He asked them to remove the engine oil or brake oil from the car and use it as anointing oil. Let me tell you something. See, man can determine what is going to take God's power.
Yeah.
Don't get busy. See, get busy with the word. Don't get busy with mocking things. People that use anointing oil, they don't know power. You've not heard it. They've used anointing oil to raise dead. They don't have revelation knowledge. No, the power is not in the oil. The power is not the anchor. You will heal it first. The power is not in the oil. The power is not in the headache. The power is in the handkerchief. The power is not in the clothes. The power is in me. It's in me. It's in me. Stop it. No. I understand the time. I know people can be very funny. But you know when I was having Rekindle in Nigeria? Remember what I did? I removed my suit and communicated God's power. Right? And why did I do that? I intentionally picked that suit. So I asked people to lay it and do all of this. Right? Now, that suit, as soon as service finished, the power of God was still on it. If I wanted it to be there. Do you understand? But I could have as well collected that suit casually and worn it casually. The problem we have is that a lot of times we cannot pick that one and start sharing the material. You start sliding material into 20 and just use it, you say, just sew it to your clothes. Sew it to your clothes. You start practicing things that are beyond your power. Yeah, we know people, and that's why sometimes, a lot of times, we try as much as possible to communicate God's power in very clear terms, right? Just lay hands, you can't cut my hand. You know, that kind of right. We try to do all those kind of things. But when people are, Elijah, right, would ask the man that is full of leprosy to go dip himself.
Yeah.
Don't say no, he didn't know it's Christ. When it's Christ, it's just words. Yes, we know it is words. But you have to come, you can choose how to communicate God's power. Yeah, I can choose to communicate God's power by my words. I can choose to communicate God's power by day. Some of us believe that anybody that falls during church service is demon possessed. You start looking at you differently after church. You that you fail. You know, sometimes I lay hands on people, right? And you see the way they stand. As if they are lifting weights. You just know that they are, and I'm like, I'm not here to push you. I'm not for. I remember one person like that. It was a person that told me after ministration, say, Pastor, when you come to me, I saw that you are everybody before you. Pastor, I said, I'm not for. I just walked across the person. My shadow just said, the person was on the ground. This person that was telling me after the meeting, no. Say, Pastor, I went to myself, I'm not for. That's how I opened my eye. So I don't know where you are coming from. Bible says that Peter's shadow healed.
Yeah.
Bible says that Peter and John were going into the temple in the hour of prayer. Yeah. Right? And they saw a man that was lame from birth. And they said, well, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give unto you. Get up, rise up and walk. See, you remember, they had not prayed though. They were going to pray. But you must not forget they had prayed before. Ah, that's the mistake you make. You know, the Bible says, you know, Peter, he just went and spoke. These are men that studied with Jesus for 40 days teaching. And Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem. What were they doing tarrying? Eating rice. So, they have eaten the word. Yeah? As another guy will say, we have eaten the word. We have prayed. What is left? He didn't say it that way. Well, leave it there. You've eaten the word. You've prayed. So, yes, it's easy to say that they were going to pray. Yes, the power was not as much linked to the prayer. But they had prayed.
Yeah.
And they knew something. And that one, they respond to him, Peter, I know, who are you? That's what happens to you. When you just say, no. So, see, there is the discipline of the Christian faith you cannot throw aside.
Yes, sir.
Yes. People are waking up every morning to pray. Oh. People are having that lifestyle. Let me tell you something. Don't be the one always looking for what to mock. Mm. You don't have to join it, yes, but you don't have to mock it.
Yes, sir.
At least they have a disciplined prayer life than you. You know what it is to wake up at 6:30 to pray every day? Try it for 1 week. You will go late every day to work. Try it 1 week. 6:30 every morning. People are doing it for days, for months, for years. And all you can see from there is that they don't know Revelation. I just talked to Abba on my bed. Abba. I just talked to Abba on my bed. I come in with the Holy Ghost on my bed. Let me tell you something, my dear saints. There's a time for praying on the bed. There's a time to get up from the bed. Yes, a time to kneel down. A man called Pastor Chris Ekonomi said that the darkest part of his body is his knee. Why? He spends time on the knee praying. Some of you cannot kneel down to pray. Because you say, you know, I just give thanks to God on my bed. Every small thing. I've not asked yourself, why is it that you sleep off every time you want to pray? Mm. Every 12 o'clock, I'll pray. Alarm will wake you, that's fine. Once the alarm just wake you, just start the they come and wake up at 4:55. Hey, it's time for work. There's a discipline of prayer. Yes. Sometimes you will leave your room. Mm. Sometimes you will be on your bed. That's okay. But don't be on your bed every time you are praying. Leave your bed. Get away from the room. In fact, sometimes you don't see the bed. See, the victory we've received comes with a labor expected. There's a labor to it. You've got to labor. 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 So when the storm rages, you are bold enough to say confidently, storm be calm. Now, I hope you know that storm can be anything. It can be anything. Storm can be anything. It can be anything. They call you, they say, this was happening, say this was happening. You know, I learned a lot from watching my parents' life. Right? When my mom finds out any of us is sick, before she thinks of hospital, she first lays hand on us. You understand? You understand? Before she thinks of hospital, she first lays hand. You see, I think for my birth and my sister's birth, or maybe my brother's birth, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, my dad in all of those encounters were not around. I think when my mom was heavy for my brother and wanted to keep it, was a neighbor that just came and drove the car because my dad was on the mountain praying. Right? And there are times, for instance, when, you know, things might be going south, but we keep God's word on our lips. We stay there. We stay there. See, learn to stay with the word for long. Do you understand? Learn to stay with the word for long. Learn to stay with the long word for long. Learn to stay with the word for long. Just stay there. Don't just breeze it down, breeze out. Stay there. Feast on it well. Eat it well. Eat it well. Eat it well. Things might be going south, but eat the word. Eat the word. No matter what, you know, they say no matter what is going on around you, make sure you eat. Just eat. Yeah, that's how you should have your Christian faith. No matter what's going on around you, just eat. 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 Yeah, be that confident. Be that bold. I remember 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, even more than that. On my WhatsApp status, I used to get people healed. How many of you remember that? I used to get people healed on my WhatsApp status. Yeah, you remember that, right? And my word of knowledge, I've just identified someone having a pain on my WhatsApp. I just posted, someone just reads it and gets healed. In fact, everything just happened. In fact, some of our members started doing it as well. But I had to stop because of the implications of it. Right? And I can't tell you what the implications are. Don't worry. But I had to stop. But I didn't just get there by a casual flings of whatever it is. No. No. Yeah. You see a man walking to a place. You see people on wheels. You see people on hospital, what do you call those beds?
Stretchers.
And as he's walking, they are standing up and jumping up. It's no joke. Oh. See, when you see those kind of things, and the first thing you are thinking about is what if it is acting. The devil is almost having his final say. And I just saw what I said in a good way, so you will not be offended. When you see the miraculous, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, what if it is fake? Ah, they've gotten you. Well, let me say it differently, they're about to get you. I said, you are born into an inheritance of the miraculous. You are seeing somebody lame rising up, you're saying he's acting. Yes, that. Somebody's operating the gifts of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and you're saying no, they're acting. Are we saying that people don't act? We know people act. If you pay attention to the miraculous enough, you would always expect the miraculous to happen. You would always. And it also affects the way you view life. Also affects the way you view life. That's the truth. You know, they can give you news in your office and tell you that they want to make people redundant at the end of the year. You know, your knowledge in the world will show in your response to that. Some people reach out to me with their prayer point. When I hear their prayer point, I'm in fear. Let me tell you something. At the end of the year, the redundancy might hit you. But remember, your contentment is not based on the redundancy or not. He has said, I will never. So let me boldly say. Now, what are you supposed to boldly say? The Lord is my helper. The Lord. So he says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. What does that mean? It means that regardless of the circumstance, I have a helper. So I don't get to crossroads and I'm thinking, what should I do? What should I not do? Let me tell you something. You see, a lot of times we get into those places where we are taking negative because of our past experiences. For our past experiences, we don't elevate it over the world. See, if you pray for someone today and the person did not get healed, what do you do? You do for another person and pray for. You know the reason why you get depressed when you pray for one and nothing happened? You thought you are the miracle worker. Sometimes we'll be shouting, Jesus is a miracle worker. You are trying to call yourself a miracle worker. So, you know, sometimes we sing something like this, you know, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, that is who I am. How many relationships have you been in? The promise people, you will marry them, 5. I say, yeah, promise keeper, 5 people. 5 women, 5 women are fighting you. You promise 5 women. I say, yeah, promise keeper, 5 women in the space of 2 years. Every quarter, new woman, every quarter, new woman, every quarter, you are promising them. See, you, the way I met you, you're unlike the others. You're, I used to be able to tell you till you smile. What they tell you, you're unlike the others. Here's where I explain. Give me details. Right? Draw a table. Understand? Yeah, so, God is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. We are just those who are, we can administer his way making. We can administer his miracle working. But he is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. Sometimes we're going to have experiences. We're going to have experiences. Let me tell you this. I've never said this before. When my dad passed, for the first few weeks after that, I was full of fear in my heart. I've never said this to anybody. I was full of fear. My mind, like, if that man can die, what can happen? If that man can die, what can happen? Well, guess what I did? Got myself back into the world. I will live long. I will stay on the earth and live long. I will fulfill God's will and plan on the earth. Live long. Guess what? 3 weeks after my dad passed, my BP was really 180 plus. I've never shared this before on the altar. Over 180, over 1 something. Guess what? I'm here today 6 years after. Yeah, in fact, the way I even knew was a casual, careless way. I was flying in. I went for, you know, the Paris Committee I went for in Nigeria this April. Yeah, that year. Because we had just passed, and I took on pastoral, and I had to be in church on Sunday. I flew to Lagos on Thursday from Abuja, attended Friday session, Saturday session, last flight Saturday, went back to Lagos on Sunday morning, first flight, preached in Abuja church. As soon as I was done, back to the airport, back to Lagos to attend Sunday session, evening, and Monday session. And after Monday session, I flew back to Abuja. When I was going back to Abuja, I was at the airport. I got to the airport early, and they were just, one of them just reached out to me. I said, can we just check your BP? They did not much. I just paid my money. I couldn't say a word to anyone other than something, other than 80. That's when I saw it. I said, and this was just weeks after I had passed. I said, no, I will live long. My heart will carry me. My heart will carry me. I will stay in the will of the Father for years and decades to come. I will be healthy. Your experiences can change your trust in God's word. It is the truth. I visited the hospital almost every single day for almost 4 months. Seeing my dad on the bed, not being able to say a word. But much more than that. No! I'm not going to allow that to deter my trust in God's word. I will stay there. I've prayed for someone before and better know it gets healed. And I've prayed for those and some and they got healed. When I want to pray for another, I don't think on the ones that didn't get healed. I think on the one that got healed. It's not trial and error. It's trust in God's word. It's trust in God's power. There are healings that are instant. There are those that are progressive. Either you give it any name, progressive or instant, it's God's power, don't you? Stay with the word. Stay with the word. I am full of power. I can administer his power. You know, I told you on Sunday. Yeah, when I'm saying this thing, it's not for you to be looking at me and be snapping me. No, it's to say it as well. Say it as well. I'm full of power. I can administer God's power. God's power resides on my inside. I'm born again. God's very own. His child. Nothing moves me. Nothing moves me. Unmovable. Unshakable. I stay there. I stay there doing his will. I stay there doing his will. That's the attitude you have. 7, 8 years ago, if not more than that, I came into the UK for a conference. And after the conference, I was still with the family, right? And I did a strange walk. You know how then I wasn't used to the map? When they said the map is just here, so I was looking at the distance for driving, not knowing there was time for walking. They call me JJC. Right? Just that this was 2013. That's 11 years ago, actually. Right? And I walked, though. It was a Kent. I walked. I didn't have money. You know that kind of thing, when you walk to a place, you don't have money. The only thing you have to do is you have to rest a little to go back. I didn't have money. And I go to the, it was in Rochester. People I was staying, when they came back home, I told them where I walked. Say, you walked? You know that kind of walk, when you walk, you just be... Your leg will vibrate. You will not know who sent you. You know, sometimes some of you walk because it's one of their money. He said, you just want to fish, you want to fish farm. Okay? I know I just that I walked. Walked for that. You know, Nigeria doesn't support walking.
Yeah.
Doesn't support walking at all. You know, most of walks for any. Some people, their house is opposite the gym. They drive to the gym. Yeah? But that day, I had walked and labored hours on the road. I've seen different kinds of cars, different kinds of human beings. And I go back to the room. And that kind of last day was in the evening. I just lay down on the bed. Do you know I will see my life leave me? I was having that experience of trying to struggle. One of the things I did was before I slept, I played the man, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I just played his teaching on my phone. I just left it there. And guess what? He was teaching on faith. I'm thinking about using words. And just from the last breath I had, I just said, I'm not going to die. Right? And I used my breath. And before you knew it, my voice started increasing. And I started getting strength. I came back. Yeah? I've had those experiences. I've had strange experiences of people. I told you last week, I was walking somewhere. Someone literally who was walking with me slumped. I don't know if the person died of fainted. No matter what, the person has slumped. Right? And they called 911. This was in the UK. And I went there, knelt down beside her, laid my hands on her. They're not dying now. She came back stronger than she was when she came to the gym. So I didn't get it. You know, sometimes you try to act smart, it's fear. Maybe in UK, let them not say I touched somebody unnecessarily. You know? That is sometimes your fear you are expressing. I don't want them to say that before they carry me to jail. How do you know they carry people to jail? Because they touch people. You've learned all those things. So you've learned it as so in terms of some of you, you see people walking with crutches, you don't know how to stop them. Let me tell you for free. Over 90% of people have stopped with sicknesses. They don't stop them. Might be my skin color, might be anything, but guess what? I don't stop stopping. If I want, I stop one day. I stop her another day. She said, you stopped me before. You are stopping me before. You are still using crutches. I said, really, I stopped you before. I stopped you before. What does that mean? I don't know who I stopped before. I don't know who I stopped later. Let two of you, you are walking, you maybe you even eating small one, you're meeting Pastor Joshua small. He says, the power of God is in me. Power of God, you leave your house, you go to the mall. The power of God is in me. You enter the mall. Power of God is in me. Power of God is in me. Five people have used crutches to pass you. You've not stopped them. But why are you going to be like, power of God is in me. Power of God is in me. You said another one. You know, sometimes you use the facial expression of people to judge if they will listen or wait for you. That's wrong. It's fear. They say, win so. You walk for 120 people. There's more than God has proposed in your heart. You leave 20 people. Say, Pastor, they're not souls outside. Right, the more you say, Pastor, they are not people. We're not really like, no. I always tell you, I can tell you for free in this environment, if you stop 20 people, I don't think 20 will wait for you. It might be only one or two. But you will not experience one or two without being 20.
Yeah.
So don't start by stopping five. You will stay there. I'm doing a series next month titled Engaging the Streets. And we'll teach you the practicality of going into the streets.
Yeah.
Eh? You go to don't let anything get your heart, your faith of God's word. Stay there. Bible says that he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You pray for the dead comes back up. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You pray for the dead becomes deader. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remind yourself of that. Don't build your church. That's why the disciples went out to go and cast out demons. They came back to Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful God. He has done wonderful things. Praise Master Jesus. Now to your testimony. Say, Master, we cast out devils in your name. Bible says, what did Jesus say? Bible says, he turned back and said to them, rejoice not in that, but rejoice in the fact that I will never leave you.
Yeah.
That's the same thing of rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the land of life forever. Bible says, that when Jesus rejoiced, he leaped, jumped, said, glory! Why is he saying that? Well, light a light. You can go out today and pray for demon possessed to leave. And demon possessed will beat you. Oh my goodness. Have you seen violent demon possessed before? that's it. You start like, see, the first time you get better at anything you give attention to. That's like, even if it's stealing. You get better at it. Right, so let it be that your partners, your neighbor, your whatever say, I have a day, can say, can I just say a word of prayer with you? What a lot of us do is we don't pray for headache, we don't pray for body temperature, we leave fever, we leave cough and catarrh. Leave on this one, then you go to amputated leg. You see. It takes a lot. You guys see who? The reason why, now, I'm not saying don't try God's power. I'm saying your heart is still in a soft place. That you need to, you know, experiences matter as well.
Yeah.
Yes, try with headache. Try this. But you got somebody, they've already cut the leg. You say it must grow. I remember one pastor that was giving an example. I came and just talking about the knowledge and said this person's leg will grow and all those kind of things. He got to the meeting, he said, rise up. So he got angry. You know when you set up with anger? He said, command you to go. The man was just looking at him like this. When he tried to do it, the person nothing responded. He said, let's put our hand up here to pray. And I said, why did he do that? So all of us will share in the shame. Oh my goodness! So all of us will share in the shame. So it's not only Pastor that prayed. All of us prayed. Oh my goodness! This is not like, just tell them. You see somebody with headache, start with it. Somebody say they have a slight back pain, start with it. Minister, yeah, so it's someone that's like this, you want to minister to. A lot of times it's pride. It's pride. You want to add it to your, so you have to build it. But you only build it by what consistency. Keep saying God's word.
Yeah.
Keep saying God's word. Let me tell you something for you, for any of you today, even if you never experience any healing of anyone, remember the resurrection as a miracle. That's enough for you. If God can raise the dead, someone says they are sick, lay your hands wherever you are. You speak by the phone, you don't have to be together. Someone reached out to me recently and she was telling me that something was happening to her body and everything. Guess what happened? A few minutes before that, you know that sometimes when you're preaching these things and you've practiced over time, you start feeling pains in some parts of your body. But it's not about you, it's about somebody else. Yeah. A few minutes before she messaged me, I can't remember the exact leg, but one of my legs just started hitting. It was just beating. It was as if your heart was beating, but my leg was just beating and it was sort of kind of swelling. So I noticed it, but what I didn't do, like I told you, I didn't go to Google. What happens when your leg is swelling? What happens when your head is swelling and your eye is twitching? That's why they tell pregnant women, once you are pregnant, don't check Google. Because you will find what you are looking for. You will see it there. Right? I just started talking in tongues. I didn't know what it's about. So when the lady just messaged me and told me this was started and that, I explained to her exactly where the pain was. Right? I just said a word of prayer to her. So I said it out, I typed it, I said it to her, said amen. She got healed. As soon as she told me, oh, everything is gone, my legs stopped paining me. Sometimes when you start having those pains, it's not just about you. I remember one of the Christ, maybe two or three in Christ let it go. I came around, right? And I was feeling a very strong back pain. Nobody knew. 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 Right? And all of a sudden, I think what was happening, maybe it was, I can't remember, I don't think it was when I was ministering. And all of a sudden, I saw someone who, while I was ministering, was just stretching. She was just trying to do like this. And she just smiled. As soon as she smiled, I knew those kind of things were going to happen. Which I tried to check my own, it had gone. Are we here?
Yes.
You see, we only get to that point by being committed, being consistent. Bible says that we may boldly say, I'm not without help. You may boldly say. Hallelujah. You know that song? I am who you say I am. Well, the song sets free. It is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. You are free indeed, my dear saints. Don't act like someone in bondage. It's when you talk boldly. You know, if your team plays football and they win or your country win, you know, for the last World Cup for us, for instance, some of us are from the part of the world, Nigeria. They won the first game. Say, yes, we are the strongest team in Africa. We're in that quarterfinal. We are the strongest team. Oh, I'm some of us bought Jesse. Enter semi-final. Say, well, no, we bought Jesse. We had a face cap. We got to last stage, semi-final. Got to final. Everybody's heart was beating. Right? You see, the way you expressed yourself after the matches you won was different from the way you expressed yourself after that match you lost.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Victory.
Yeah.
Mm. All the matches won are victory for the believer. All together. Yeah? So there's a way you act. There's a way you talk. There's a way you talk. There's a way you speak. You speak victoriously. Yeah? You go to the hospital. See, when the doctor says something about your health, don't say they are the devil. Always knows. No, there's nothing wrong in the hospital diagnosing. That's science. Science can diagnose any kidney, anything. It's a fact. Don't try to say, no, that's not me. It's my devil. No. It's something that's fact. But you know what is more true than that fact is that God's power is available.
Yeah.
They tell you you have migraine, then that kidney cannot last for 20 years. And then you're just saying your heart is just growing large, it's growing big. Those are facts. They can scan it, they can see it. But there's another fact to pay attention to.
Yeah.
God's power is available to heal. God's power is available to heal. You speak to yourself. They say your womb cannot carry the baby. Oh wow, thank you so much. Appreciate your scientific knowledge. Then what happened? From the moment you live there, I will carry my child. I will name my child with my hands. I will carry my child. I will groom my child. I will hold my son. I will walk with my son. I will be there on the day of joy for my son. You see it? You see it? But if you leave there, they say, hey. They say, I have. You know that diagnosis? That make her and don't let anybody tell you that. No, you know, sometimes you see some people they have miraculous. I was somewhere, someone was talking about something very recently. He was laughing. I was saying that people get healed. I person was not trying to say, like, it's not possible that even the diagnosis was not true. Well, anything you say, you know, it's the person that is wearing shoes that knows where it's painful. I told you I got healed, you don't believe. Why am I trying to explain to you? Why am I trying to examine? Why am I trying to teach you? No. I got you, you don't believe, move on. May not be the day you need the miraculous that you realize you've been mocking the miraculous. Not together. Yeah? And that's where you have all those unending questions. Say, if God is good, why do people fall sick? If God is good, why do people fall with cancer? If God is good, why do people fall with headache? If God is good, why do people fall with, say, well, I know God is good. His goodness is regardless of those experiences. There are lots of things that can happen within the human race. But God is good. and it's good. We're together. The Bible says that we would be saved. See how I spent Hebrews 13, only Hebrews 13 today. Are we together? Look at John 6 before we go today. John 6, 35. You know, there's something about identification for the believer. Do you remember Saul's narrative with the Jesus conversation when Paul will ask, "Who are you?" and the response will be, "I am Jesus." Remember that narrative? Now, what did Jesus say in that story? He says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." Do you know that Paul had never touched Jesus before? What was Jesus trying to show them? The people that Paul was persecuting, they were in identification with Jesus. So the believer is an identification with Jesus. There's a marriage union. There's a community with Jesus. We're united to Jesus in the resurrection. So that is, you see, so when we tell you that Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," it's a conversation of confidence. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Look at what it says in verse 35 of John 6. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never what? Shall never thirst." When Jesus says that, what is your response? To boldly speak. Right? "I've been filled by the Spirit of God. My hunger has been quenched, or my thirst has been quenched." Are we together? How do you say that? Boldly. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. 8, verse 12. Next chapter, John 8, 12. He says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What do you say boldly? "I do not walk in darkness. I have the light of life." How do you say it? Boldly. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Look at chapter 9, verse 5. John chapter 5, 9, verse 5. "As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world." Right? That means I will not walk in darkness. Look at chapter 10, John 10, verse 11. Just run with me. John 10, 11. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What is the resource of that? I have the good shepherd. 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 The good shepherd does not lose his sheep. Look at verse 14 again. What did I just read? Verse 11, right? Yes. So if you look at verse 12, "Well, he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, see the wolf coming and leaving the sheep and fled, and the wolf catcheth them and scattered the sheep. The hireling fled because he's an hireling and he heareth not the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Are we together? Look at chapter 29. He says, look at verse 28. He says, "And I give unto them eternal life." Who are the them? Me, yeah? So when Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life," what's your response? "I have eternal life." Yeah, when a believer teaches that eternal life is not eternal, that doesn't make them not to be saved eternally. Do you understand that? Yeah, no matter how much you negate it, the life that Jesus gives is the life of eternity. And anyone who believes in that has eternal life. So he says, "I have given to them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hands." What do you say? "None can pluck me hand out of the hands of the good shepherd." Look at 30. "My Father has given to me greater than all. God is greater than all. None is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand." Are you with me? Chapter 11, 26, quickly. Yeah, look at 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall what? He live." So you say, "I shall live. I have come alive. I am alive unto God. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He says, "I will never die. I will never perish." You must understand where he stops. Remember, "I will never die. I will never perish." Not that you will live 500 years and you tell me your head. I told you all those doctrines, right? "I'll never die" means I have eternal life. That means no matter what happens to my mortal body, there's the life of God in me that will bring me back to life. That's the assurance I have. We say it boldly. We're not timid. We're not shaking. I'm bold. I have eternal life. I'm bold about it. I have eternal life. God loves. That means God's love for me is perpetual, is consistent. God is committed to loving me. God is dedicated to loving me. That is his will, his desire, his plan. So what do? I make statements that are in absolute agreement. I will never perish. I have received eternal life. I will never perish. Nothing can pluck me out of his hands. Nothing can pluck me out of his hands. I have eternal life. I'm bold about that. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Say, God loves me forever. God loves me forever. See how Paul teaches in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'm sure you know that scripture. Romans 8, 31. Are you Romans 8, 31?
Yes.
Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for me. Is that the same thing in Hebrews 13:5?
Yeah.
That we boldly say, I will not fear what man will do to me. So if you are taught that God is for you, what do you say? God is for me. Speak with boldness. You wake up every morning and remind yourself, God is for me. You say, God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. So look at it again. He says, what shall we say to these things if God be for us? A better way to read that is, since God be for us. Are we together? Because it's not a probability. It's a certainty. God is for me.
God is for me.
Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but divided him up for us all, how shall he then with all things give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So if God justifies, who are you? I'm justified of the Lord. I'm the justified of the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died here, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make a decision for us. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. But see what Paul says before he says nothing. Shall tribulation. That means tribulation cannot separate you from the hands of God. See, God has held on to you in his victory with a magnetic glue called his spirit. So his spirit is the seal on your heart and is there perpetually forever. You see, there is nothing about you that can make God to be father you. God is not the father that abandons his sheep. No, he doesn't abandon his children. You are forever God's very own. You're forever God's very own. You see, I'll teach maybe next week Sunday if I have time. But you know, people who battle with sinful acts or battle with addictions. You know, there's a way you would understand God's word and you approach the situation. You know the man called David? You know David, right? You know, David was a man who, in the real sense, he did a lot of ridiculous things. You remember that now?
Yeah.
David, right? And very wise prophet, he came and told him about himself in a parable.
Yeah.
Remember that story, right?
Yeah.
That's the way to talk to people. Yeah? I started learning that style. Yeah? When you want to tell somebody something, first give them a parable. Let them explain. You know, they told David, said, a man has this and he still went after this. And then David said, what? That's how to deal with some people. Yeah, the one I'm talking about. All together. But guess what? David knew something. He went to Romans chapter, Psalm 51. He says, you created me in your heart. You renew the right spirit within me. You cast me not away from the presence. You what?
Take not
your spirit from me. You restore to me the joy of my salvation. And you renew the right spirit within me. He doesn't approach the believer hard because of his knowledge. God doesn't cast man away because of what man does. No, you can't cast yourself away from one man. You see, God came to deliver man from sin. Listen to what we teach. God came to deliver man from sin, but sin can take you from the hands of God. You hear that, doctor? God came to deliver you from sin. And that thing he took on flesh to deliver you from, that thing was he carrying again. No, I've been delivered by his blood. Sanctified, made holy, accepted with the Lord. I'm righteous, redeemed of the Lord, justified. Nothing can block me from my head. Like I told you, yes, there's a time to speak in tongues, but speak the word as well.
Yeah?
There's a time to God. When you finish, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, who are you speaking to? You are not reminding God of who you are. You are reminding yourself. You are hearing yourself speak. I will not fail. Nothing dies in my hands. When hands have been laid on you, for instance, by your pastor, think those words he says over your life. I say it again. Nothing dies in my hands. What God has placed in my hands will not slip away. I will be a faithful minister. I will serve God for decades to come. I will not have a better yesterday serving Jesus. I will not have a better yesterday serving God. I will have greater days ahead of me. I stay in the word. I stay feasting on the word. I stay in the word of ministry. I stay in the ministry of his word, rather. Ministry of prayer. Ministry of the spirit. Say, I grow in the things of the spirit. Say, I grow in the things of the spirit. Say, I grow in the things of the spirit. Say, I'm Clara. I'm audible. I'm Clara. I'm Clara. I'm Clara. I'm Clara by God's ability in me. Say, God's power is at work in me. I know who I am. 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 No matter what the devil wants to do, I'm delivered from the bondage of the devil. I'm now in the kingdom of the Lord. God is my papa. God is my father. God is my father. God is my father. God is my father. I have the help of God. 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 Sickness will not take me. Yes, sickness will not take me. Yes, sickness will not take me. I have the help of God. I have the spirit of God. I have his ability. I have divine ability. My hands are not normal. My hands are not normal. My hands are supernatural. My hands communicate God's power. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I lay hands on the oppressed and they are released. I lay hands on the depressed and they are released. My hands communicate virtue. My hands communicate power. I lay hands on the man and receive the indwelling. Yeah, he's filled with the spirit. Yeah. You know, you can lay hands. I have those experiences as well. Yeah. And so there are two ways to, I'm going to teach that in evangelism next month. There are two ways to get people to speak in tongues. You can teach them Mark 16, teach them 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. But more than that is just lay hands on them. You can't communicate God's power that way. Lay hands on them and leave them there. You drop the power there. Are we together? You can't do that. You can't. You can't. And be bold about it. Yeah. Don't walk like so. See, from today, don't walk like this. No. Don't walk like this. Notice on the floor. Your phone did not fall. Your Bible did not fall. Your mind did not drop. Use it here. Don't walk like this. No. No. Don't walk like this. You don't walk like this. No. Look straight in the eyes of men. You see, there's a kind of boldness you have. And, you know, maybe for me, I saw a father like mine who saw me, who expected. I remember this morning I was driving to church and I remember the first internship I had. And I just went out one day and went to one office, one of the major offices in Abuja, Nigerian company, something like that. And I walked there, I went to go and ask the man and said, I just asked him, can I meet the yoga or the boss? And the man just came. You would think he's a minister. I just came, oh, what is it? My son wants to do internship. Do you have space for him? Because I started walking there. Right? You know, I saw his kind of boldness in my father. He used to share this testimony of a man. He went to a church meeting before. At the gate of the church, they were selling, you know what they call suya? They were selling suya. And one madman went to the suya man. I went to go and collect the suya knife. I was chasing people all around. You with the anointing of God, they are running. Wrong. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Wrong, they are running. He say, God has delivered us so that we can live to fight tomorrow. Yeah, sometimes you're expressing fear. So that anyone you cannot cast out today, you cast out tomorrow. Sometimes you're expressing fear. And guess what? Everybody run. The pastor, everybody flee, everybody ran away. I remember Pastor Nekka give an example of a man, for instance, there was a bomb blast in Lagos. And as soon as the pastor heard the bomb blast, he ran, he broke his leg. And the bomb blast was far away from the church. That's nothing more painful. Because the pastor, how do you estate your flocks? How do you estate your flock? Pastor, he said, I kicked my leg somewhere. Right? And my dad went there. I looked at the man that was mad, chasing people with knife, and he said, bring that knife here. The man came here, brought the knife in his hand, and nailed that in front of him. That's an audacity. That's a boldness. You don't get there by just saying, oh, what a number shot. Yes, bless you, never. No, you get there by feeding on the word, staying in prayer. Lots of experience, lots of encounters. Yeah, you can speak to a madman and get a man out of madness. Yeah. That is the spirit, you can cast it out. Yeah. And when you get to that point by feeding, pray. Let your words be plenty in the back, behind the curtain, praying. So your words will be free outside. Yeah. So the words you say, they will carry power. There are those that will stand up and come and say a word and you teach us like that. It didn't just happen overnight. You spend time behind the curtain when people don't see you. You come out with boldness and you are sure of what you carry. You are certain of what you carry. You are sure of what you carry. You are certain that this is what you have. Say, I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. Say, the power of sin and death has been broken over me. Say, God is my father. God is my papa. I am not fatherless. Say, I'm not fatherless. Say, I'm the child of God. I'm the son of God. And I walk like a king. Are we together? Yes. That made us royal, a royal priesthood. Right? You're a member of God's palace. God's palace means palace. You're supposed to be a king in palace. You're looking to the floor. No, you walk boldly. Yeah? Don't look people at their leg. Look at them in their eye. What do they carry? What? Anything they carry, carry more. I bet you're not a Christian. Don't look at people on their. Look at people. Don't be there. Some of you, when you're talking to people, look at your forehead. Look in their eye.
Yeah.
You can start from forehead and come down. But don't stay in forehead for a long time. Look in their eye. Look in their eye. Speak boldly. Eh? What does this mean? Just then, I will not fear what man will do to me. You're looking at their shoe. Speak boldly. Walk boldly. Walk confidently. Walk confidently, speak boldly. Altogether. Yes, you know their boundaries. That's why I laugh. Don't go to the police barracks or soldier barracks. Go to soldier barracks. You speak boldly, they will beat you boldly. Yeah, their boundaries. But I'm trying to talk normal conversation. When you go and share the gospel by the power of God, don't carry a message of timidity.
I'm just trying to see if you can really understand that God really loves you. I just want to really see if you can really pay attention to the fact that God really loves you and if you live really, you know what we're about to do. Speak boldly. I have something to give you. I will save you and save your eternity.
Mm.
If you believe in Jesus right now, you are saved eternally, your sins forgiven, your God's very own forever. Speak boldly. Yeah, so we can say bold. Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's just say some words together. Say, I'm bold.
I am bold.
Say, I'm God's child.
I'm God's child.
Say, I'm God's very own.
I'm God's
say,
very
God,
own.
Lives here.
God lives
say,
here.
God lives here.
God lives
say,
here.
I house God.
I house
say, I house his power. Say,
I house
his power. Say,
I house
his ability.
Say,
I minister God's power.
Say,
I minister God's power.
My hands are
not
ordinary.
My hands are full of power.
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 My eyes see in the spirit.
My ears hear
in the spirit.
Accurately.
Say, I decipher
what God
once said.
Say,
I say
what God wants
to be said.
So
I say boldly.
So
I say
boldly.
Say, I'm not scared.
I'm not
timid.
There's no fear around me.
There's no fear around me.
There's no timidity around me.
There's no fear around me.
Say,
my atmosphere. Say, my atmosphere
is an atmosphere
of faith.
Say, my atmosphere
is an atmosphere
of God's word.
Say, my atmosphere
is
void of depression.
Say,
my atmosphere
is
void of depression.
Say,
no anxiety around me.
Say,
no anxiety around me.
Say,
God's faith,
God's ability,
God's faithfulness
radiate
around me.
Say,
I carry his power,
I carry
his presence,
and
I walk boldly.
Say,
I speak boldly,
I speak
confidently,
I
I am not afraid.
Say,
tribulation.
Say,
tribulation.
Nothing.
Tribulation.
Nothing.
Death
can
not
separate
me
from
the love of God.
Say,
I'm born again.
I'm full of power.
I'm full of the Holy Ghost.
Glory to
God.